Good morning. And isn't it a beautiful morning outside? Makes you feel as if spring is on its way. But don't get tricked. It's not going to happen yet. Welcome to all who are here this morning as we worship the Lord together. And this is especially a nice Sunday morning because of the baptism of Shaylee and Adley just a little bit later in the service. And if you'll notice, they have some beautiful crosses on this morning that I'm sure they'd like you to notice. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Welcome to all this morning. And our service begins with our gathering song, How Good Lord to Be Here. Please rise if able. You two during the baptism and help me with the candle. Thank you, hon. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. In the Word was life. And the life was the light of all people. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Almighty God, on the mountain, you showed your glory in the transfiguration of your Son. Give us the vision to see beyond the turmoil of our world and to behold the King in all his glory. We pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our lecturers this morning.
The first lesson is a reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Here ends the reading. We will read the psalm responsively. Why are the nations in an uproar? Why do the peoples mutter empty threats? Let us break their yoke, they say. Let us cast off their bonds from us. Then he speaks to them in his wrath, and his rage fills them with terror. Let me announce the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son, the day have I begotten you." You shall crush them with an iron rod and shatter them like a piece of pottery. Submit to the Lord with fear and with trembling bow before him. Happy are they all who take refuge in him.
The second lesson is from the first chapter of 2 Peter. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Here ends the reading.
Thank you.
Our Holy Gospel reading this morning is from St. Matthew, the 17th of Matthew's chapters.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took with him Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here, and if you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Listening to Jesus is the right thing to do. But how do you know when it is Jesus, God, talking to you? You're on Facebook or Instagram, and you notice a friend of yours sharing photos of her 2-year-old daughter at the beach in Florida. And she's pouring sand from a bucket over her brother's head. Another friend you notice is showing her 9-year-old son driving his new John Deere tractor that he got for Christmas in the backyard, right over the new flowers that she had planted. And the photos don't stop there. There are sonograms. There are bathtub photos. There's a picture there of one of your great nieces eating spaghetti 1-year-old at the table. And the parents, as you all know by now, they have their smartphones ready for anything that their child does. And they post every one of them on social media. My question is, folks, do we really need to see all these photos? I mean, come on. But it's called sharenting today by parents, grandparents who get kind of caught up in oversharing the details of their young kids' life over the internet. Sometimes you get the feeling that they're saying, "Hey, look at my kid. Look at my kid. She's very special. You need to look at more of the photos." So in today's gospel, not so differently, we find another case of extreme sharing. And if it's not enough for Jesus to come forward and just tell his close friends that he took with him exactly who he was and leave it at that, he summons Moses and Elijah, great prophets of both the law and the second coming, and his father from heaven even joins in this special moment on the mountain and begins to brag about his son. He begins to want you to notice who Jesus is. And he says, and I quote, "This is my son, my beloved, and I'm so pleased with him." And then those last three important words, "Listen to him." Listen to him is God's exhortation. And the gospel writers all around, they repost this same event on the social media that we call the Bible today that expresses who God is. It's a big news to them. And granted, it is. But what is going on here in the Transfiguration? What is going on here that you and I should notice, should understand, should get? Well, for one, God is definitely sharing. God is sharing with us a bit about himself and who he is. In other words, God is a sharing God. And we see it in the Transfiguration. And if Jesus' Transfiguration was a big event, then we should be understanding, or at least asking ourselves, what's there for me to understand about the Transfiguration? I think I get it. Jesus was changed. Well, you do get that, but that is not all. And I'd like to take a closer look at the Transfiguration today. Now, as we're told right off the bat, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And he must know that a horrible fate awaits him there. He knows what everybody else doesn't. And I believe that his mind must have been occupied with thoughts of what was ahead. He had to know. That's why he set his face and went to Jerusalem. And he must have been worrying if the kingdom of God, which his father spoke about, would come through this one event of the cross that's going to look like, at least to everybody else, like a complete failure when he died on the cross. He had to be wondering if that was going to look like a complete failure. And then there is this voice that is heard that in our account today, it assures everyone there that the road ahead for Jesus was the right one. And then the words, "Listen to him. Listen to him." Now, I think the real question here is, how do we go about listening to Jesus today? In any case, our Christian faith has long taught us that in Jesus, God can be seen, but we have to believe that in Jesus, God can be heard. And I know that we have pictured in our minds scenes of Jesus feeding the hungry, of Jesus comforting the sorrowful, and befriending people who others would have absolutely nothing to do with. And we can rightly say, after seeing all those things, this is God. And we know that when Jesus is speaking to these people in the Bible, what we know is that this is God talking. That's what we believe. When Jesus talks, that is God speaking. That's a point we should know. But today, and here's our problem. Today, how do you know if what you think you're hearing from God is real? And it's not something that you want to hear. How do you know? How do you distinguish when God is speaking to you? And how do you know if you're really listening to him? In other words, how do you distinguish the voice of God today from all the voices that are talking to you? Well, I think I have a couple answers there that seem to me to be at least a little reasonable. How do I know? How do I know? Well, for one, when you're listening to what God is trying to say to you, look for the fruits of the Spirit to be evident in what you're listening to. When God is talking to you, test to see if the fruits of the Spirit are there. In other words, if what you're hearing doesn't bring peace, if what you think is God talking to you doesn't improve your faith, or if it doesn't help your self-control, not just some of the fruits of the Spirit, if it doesn't do them those things, it's not God talking to you. It's what you want to hear. And two, if you think God is talking to you about anything that's been on your mind, maybe you're contemplating selling some farmland, or maybe you're really in a tizzy about making a decision, whatever, run it by a person that you think is a good Christian friend. And believe me, a good Christian friend, they'll never think you're nuts about what you're thinking. A good Christian friend understands when you're trying to figure these things out. And believe me, they help you so much. Just run it by them what it is you think God is speaking to you about. And then if doors seem to open in front of you after you think it is God, if you don't have to push that door open, or if they won't open at all, then forget it, because it's not God. Those are just two ways I thought might be helpful, because you know, God does speak to us even today, no matter if we're removed thousands of years from when these people saw him and what he did. God still speaks to us today. He shares a lot with you and me every day. And like those words in the gospel said, we have to listen to him. We have to listen to him if we want to know it's God talking. Amen.